Come on, we're excited that you are with us. Come on, we're going to get into this morning, man. We are starting a new series next week. It's just a quick mini-series, 3 weeks on heaven. It's funny because we have had a banner made up for heaven. It's called Home. It's actually out hanging up right now. Actually, that thing has been hanging up since March. And we were going to do this series on heaven, going home, and what that looks like to really, and I think it's perfect timing now. We can get such a horizontal view and just be disastrous and think that this is it. But we need to be reminded that all of this life here is as temporary and a dot, man. It's a shake. It's all it is a shadow. That's it, a breath. And to realize that we have an eternal home that we've forever, that'd be amazing. And I cannot wait to preach this. It was supposed to be in March. This craziness, this nonsense happened. And then you come to a place to just have to communicate and shepherd and walk people through the season that we are in. And I'm excited. It's so funny because that banner has been hanging up there since March. We just kept covering it with our other banners. It was just amazing. Now you see it. That's next week and we're pumped. I got to breathe for a minute. Can I breathe for a second? Got me all excited today. And we are so excited to see you this morning. In the midst of the crazy, man, I just want to communicate honestly and preach a message on Thanksgiving. And what's it look like? Honestly, what's it look like to have an attitude adjustment? But before I do, and we did this in the first service, and I really want to do it in both services, where we come to a place to pray. Many of you know I do what I call the rattle run every Sunday morning, up early and out driving. Today I was up a little later than normal. I was up late last night doing some things, working on that fish tank, as a matter of fact, ordering stuff for the fish tank. But today, in the Sunday mornings, I usually go to a high point, and I drive around, and I go to other churches, and I pray over other churches, and pray over other pastors, and I pray over people on this team that will be serving during Sundays. And then I end up at a high point, and I just cover the city, and I just pray. And I believe that I do believe that God is going to do something miraculous and amazing through all of this. I believe the church will expand, and I believe husbands and wives will come to a place of marriage and relationship with Christ. I believe that there will be many, many who will come to Christ through this. I do believe that those who are dead in spirit will come alive once again and return to Christ. I believe that, just praying over this region on a high point. And it's just me and my Jeep, man. I have a yellow Jeep, and I drive that thing around. And this morning, I just felt different. In a sense of, really, the through this season, man, I don't think anyone else, and you've heard me say this, I don't think anyone else is more affected than our students. Whether it be a college student, whether it be a high school student, elementary student, like, honestly, you and I as adults, we get up, we do our thing, we go to work, we come home, and in 4 years, we're going to do the same thing. It's not even that much affecting us, right? I'm not saying this thing is lasting 4 years. I think it's over myself. But we come to a place. For our kids, they only have a season, a short season. And 2 years of your high school years are a lot of years. And I found myself this morning just going out to Portville Central School. And I went from east to west, and I went out to Portville, and I was circling the Portville Central School. If there's a video out there, there's a yellow Jeep. That's me online. That's me. And I love it. Yeah. Al works there, and he's like, he's just praying. And honestly, I was praying for the school, and I was praying for Principal Welty, and I was praying for the Superintendent Simons, Mr. Simons, and Mr. Welty, as they oversee, and I was praying for the board of that school and the decisions that they need to make with wisdom and great care, but the decision that they need to make for the kids that are under their care. And then I went to Olean and prayed for Mr. Moore as a superintendent of Olean. I prayed for Mr. Andriano as a principal of the high school, and just drove around that high school just praying for the board of education and praying for their decisions, what they need to do, that they're impacting so many lives by the decisions. And then I went to Allegheny and did the same thing, and just really praying and praying and just really believing that we are going to see something out of this, and we want to see this thing change. And I'm asking God to do a work in the souls of our young people, in the souls of even the elementary schools, that they don't grow up. Man, church, we got to get past this whole COVID thing and look at the damage that it's doing outside of the 98% recovery rate. Don't get me started. I'm not going to go too far on that. 99% recovery rate. Seriously, what is the damage to our kids? What is their psyche all about with our young kids who grow up in fear because someone didn't wear a mask? what happens to our teenagers when they lose their years to 99%. Man, my heart breaks for these young people. And we have great school systems. We are blessed with great school systems. I'm a huge fan of Porville. I went to Olean. I love Mr. Andriano. I know him personally. He's doing a heck of a job with what he can. And you come to Allegheny. Many people are Allegheny. But of course, we reach such a broad, all the way into Pennsylvania, into Hinsdale, all the way into Salamanca, all the way into Bradford, through Cowdersport. Like, we hit a huge range here. And we're honored, and we have some great, great school systems. But what is the side damage that no one's thinking of? And we need to pray. Man, I've been driving around and along that corridor from east to west. It's great. When I get up early, there's nobody on the road. Let me give you a secret. Like, as Believers Chapel, we love our men and women in uniform. We love our policemen. We love our firemen, right? And this morning, I went to Reed's. I was, man, 7:01, man. I'm at Reed's. And maybe like 7:10 at Reed's buying donuts for the police department. Believers Chapel, we bought donuts for the police department and fire department, right? So when you come to a place to realize, listen, and I can say this because I'm a cop, I can get from Allegheny to Porterville quick time when you feed cops donuts. I'm just saying. They're all in the station. You know what I'm saying? And these were the good ones, the stuffed ones, right? And we honored, I put up on behalf of Believers Chapel. I didn't put my name, but on behalf of Believers Chapel, I write them a note about being great. And we support our heroes as a church, and we back you as a fire department and as the police department. And I was able to do that this morning, but in my drive, just going to different people along the corridor and just stopping in front of their house and praying and just maybe pulling in a driveway to pray over them. And it's just me. It's not freaky. It's not something weird. I'm just praying. But I believe that, you know, you come to a place to see the side damage of this nonsense. And you just hope. You hope that their soul is going to be okay as a young person. Ain't nobody, I'm old and strong enough to say, ain't nobody getting into my soul. You can't mess with me. You ain't in my grill. You ain't in my soul. You ain't in my joy. You ain't in my peace. I'm strong enough to say, you ain't going to affect me, to people and to stuff. But what about our kids? And I want to just take a minute. We'll get into this message and I'll get through it. But I feel so strong this morning just in my rattle run and praying. And there's a lot that comes from the rattle run. It's just so focused time. And I just want to pray. And if you would agree with me. And if you're online, man, I want you as well to participate. I want the church to say it's time to really care about these kids through this season. It's crazy. And it's time to care about their psyche and their concern. And it's time to care about our high school students that are losing precious years. It's time to cover their souls. And I pray over my own family. I pray over my team and their kids. And I pray over this church in a sense of our soul, very particularly. God, that our soul be concrete. Protect our soul. You can hit the outside, but when you can affect the soul, that's when you go deep. Protect the soul. Let the soul be concrete. Let their souls be fearless. Let their souls be courageous. Let their souls be bold. Let their souls not allow anything to penetrate the soul. This is what I pray over my family. This is what I pray over my team. And this is what I pray over this church. And I want to pray that over our particular kids who are going through this. That we come to a place today, it's time to deal with this spiritually in a sense, going, this is not going to affect their soul. It's time to do something about it through prayer and walking in a place of being spiritual about this thing. Because it's affecting things way beyond the 99% that live. I want a t-shirt that says that. My daughter makes t-shirts. I do. I asked her. I said, I need a t-shirt. I thought it was 98. I want to say 98% recovery rate. This is not a pandemic. Anyways, I can't get into that. Be in trouble. But let's pray. And if you are willing, would you please just stretch your hands towards. And if you're online, I want you to just stretch your hands towards, because this is a big deal. Come on, Father. Oh, God, we just pray over our kids, God. We pray over our schools, God, that they would have wisdom. Our principals, our superintendents, the boards, from elementary all the way through high school, God, that you would give them wisdom, protect them. I thank you for their service. I thank you for what they're going through, God. It must be crazy to be in administration this year. God, I believe that you've called them to this right now. You've called them to this. And I pray that you give the administration strength. You give the administration boldness and courage to make good decisions based off of these kids. Father, I pray over our kids. I pray over every elementary school and every high school, God, every middle school, God, that they would be secure in their soul. God, there would be strength within their soul. Supernaturally, God, there would be something that is done within their soul, that it would be concrete, that their soul would be courageous, that their souls would be fearless. That, God, they look this nonsense in the face and say, not today. That's not getting into me today. Not fear, not anxiety, not confusion over the kids, God. That this thing ends and that this thing is gone and common sense would reign again. And Father, I pray over these kids that God, their souls would be secure. That God, their souls would be concrete. That their mindset and their psyche, Father, would be solid. Protect their minds. Protect their hearts. God, that the parents would know what it means to guard their kids' hearts. For from it flow the issues of life. And God, we're not going to let anything penetrate our kids. That we would speak truth to this thing. We will not let fear reign in our own home, in our own presence, God. Regardless of what the news says. Regardless of government. God, our hope comes from you. And our strength comes from you. And Lord, I thank you for these kids. And I pray over these kids that their mindset would be secure. Father, please move in these kids despite the crazy and despite the foolishness. Move in these kids and protect our kids and protect their souls. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Amen. Come on, let's look at this. Today we're preaching on giving thanks. It is the week. Wednesday is going to be amazing. Don't miss it. I'm hoping that you have a house full of people on Thursday celebrating what it means to give thanks. Of all people, man, disciples of Christ, followers of Jesus, we should walk in a place to be so thankful. Walk in a place to be so grateful and not allow anything from the outside to affect my spirit of thankfulness. Watch this, please. Man, when you walk in a place to see a disciple, to watch and walk into place to see a true follower of Christ. One of the litmus tests to that is that they have a heart and a spirit of thankfulness. They're genuinely, sincerely, authentically grateful people. It just oozes from them. No matter what season, you find themselves to be thankful. You find them to be grateful. And we're going to go over a couple things today. And I love this because even in the midst of this season, I think we could use an attitude adjustment. In the midst of this season, man, we got a bunch of boohoo Christians. We got a bunch of boohoo disciples. Man, get the thumb out of your mouth and let's go, man. Let's do this. Let's understand what it means to be salt and light. Let's look at the very season that we're in and be juiced about it in such a way to say, this is an opportunity to be salt. This is an opportunity to be light. And I'm going to ooze in a sense of thankfulness because it's a big deal biblically. And it's a big deal to the Lord that you and I would come to a place to see what the Bible says about those who are in Christ and that they would walk in a place to overflow with gratitude. Can I ask you, are you overflowing with gratitude? Or are you the complainer? Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaint. Try that. Can I encourage you 1 week? Try this week, which is a Thanksgiving week. 1 week, try this. All things without complaint. Do the quarter in a jar trick, right? If you are loaded, do the dollar in a jar quick. You know, if you got the green, put the dollar in the jar every time you complain. If you're like, man, I'm a big complainer, that could cost me my car. I'm actually going to do the quarter. Matter of fact, I'm going to do the dime. Like, this is where we're at with this thing. But I challenge you, Philippians 2:14, do all things. You know what all things means? Without complaint. Complaining is not a character trait of the follower of Christ. What happens when you are sincerely thankful? Come on, I want you to see this. Come on, Colossians 2, please. Colossians 2, I got 3 points. Usually I do 1 point and just rip it. This is 3 points today, and I really got to fly. So we're and last week, you were so patient with me last week, second service. You were so patient with me last week. We got out real late last week, but I believe it was 100% worth it. It was powerful, powerful time of praying for people who were struggling. It was a powerful time to be in the presence of God. Do not forsake the assembly yourselves together. What? As the day draws near, you are called to encourage one another. Guess what happened? I can't have time to get into Hebrews 10. But as the day draws near, you know what's going to be happening? The closer of that day that Jesus returned, the earth is going to get worse. Isn't it amazing that in a season that things seem to be getting worse, the Bible says don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together because you're supposed to encourage one another as the day draws near. But we had an amazing service last week of just praying over people and encouraging people who were struggling in this season and outside of this season for different issues. It was so powerful. Thank you. I'm going to try to get you out a little bit on time today. I was hoping to get you out early. That's not going to happen. So come on. My dad's laughing at me. It's amazing. I love you, Dad. Come on. Point number one is this. When you walk in a place to overflow with gratitude, you know, it's a sign of, we're going to see it. It's a sign of your stability and that you are rooted and grounded in your faith. When you overflow in gratitude for the disciple of Christ, it shows me that there's nothing that's going to penetrate you. You are relying more on your faith, and you are so rooted and you are grounded in your faith that you're not going to let circumstances or seasons of life begin to impact your insides. You know, where does thankfulness come from? It comes from the inside out. I can't pray you to be a thankful person. Thankfulness is a spiritual issue. Thankfulness is a soul issue. Thankfulness comes from the inside out. And when you are rooted and you are grounded and your faith is stable, there is a sign that you overflow with thankfulness regardless of the season that we're in. Come on, I want to show you to you. Colossians 2, verse 4 says this. I say this, that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. You better be careful who you're listening to. You better be careful who you're listening to. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, look where Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, what he says, even though I'm absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith. Watch this, your good discipline and your stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, this is to the disciple, right? This is to the follower of Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, this is post the cross, this is salvation, this is being born again by the blood of Christ. Watch this. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. I love it. You gotta remember, Paul writes these letters to the persecuted church. The church of Colossae was a persecuted church. The church at Philippi was a persecuted church. The church at Corinth was a persecuted, these guys were going through it. They were persecuted. They weren't looked on as a Christian nation, right? They were persecuted, and this is what he's saying. He's writing this to people who were struggling. He's writing this to the persecuted church, having been, watch this, firmly rooted, being built up to him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See, we don't get to be the boo-hooers. We don't get to be like, oh, America's getting so hard. Really, let's look around the earth today. Let's look in the Middle East and see how hard it is to be a Christian. Let's look back in a place of Bible times and see how hard it was to be a follower of Christ, to say, I choose Jesus, and see what took place. And yet, in the midst of all of this, he says, you are to overflow with gratitude. I think the church today could truly use an attitude adjustment. You see, thanksgiving is an attitude. Complaining and grumbling is an attitude. And when you know today we're just going to grab the screwdriver and we're just going to just make a couple adjustments to say, where am I in my litmus test? Where is the needle of thankfulness? Do I overflow? I love this. Do I overflow with gratitude? And I think about filling the car, right? The Jeep drinks gasoline like it's water. It's crazy, but it's worth it. Love the Jeep. But the more I drive it, it's amazing. The more I drive it, the needle goes to the left. The more I use it, the needle goes to the left. The faster I drive, has anyone noticed? I mean, this is a total side note, crazy note, just popped in my head. Has anyone noticed that during this season, everyone's driving slower? I'm like, pick it up. Let's go. Like 5 miles under is unacceptable. Like I'm telling you, I think Corona has affected people's mindset in a sense of driving. Like everybody is driving too slow. Like get on their bumper if they're driving. Never mind, I can't go there. I'm a cop, so I'm just saying, five over, you'll always be fine. Trust me, at five over, you're good. But the faster you drive, the faster that needle goes to the left. So what do? You've got to fill it up. Can I just say, when you're not paying attention and when life begins to hit and you sit in front of that TV and you just download all the negative and you download all the nonsense and you see your thankfulness needle, what happens? It goes to the left. And we are called to overflow. We're called to refill. What happens when you walk in a place to constantly take out and take out thankfulness and take out thankfulness and get hit and get hit and get hit? How do you put it back in? How do you make deposits back in to your thankfulness tank? Because biblically speaking, when you are firmly rooted, verse 7, when you are being built up in Christ and established in your faith, one of the results is that you would overflow with gratitude. I mean, right off the top, man, you come to a place going, where has your thankfulness been, even for 2020? Like, do you come to a place to realize I have so much to be thankful for? I'm done. I truly haven't seen the news in a long time. I'm done with the news. I haven't seen a channel. I watch my cop shows. Bad guys die at the end, good guys win. That's my show. High five for that. And you come to a place where my time truly is word. And you come to a place to say, I'm not going to allow anything to cause my thankfulness tank to empty, because I see it here, that when I'm established in my faith, you overflow with gratitude. You overflow with gratitude. Come on, Psalm 28, please. Same point number one, same point, that you walk in a place to be stable and to be rooted in your faith. And I want you to see this. This is a Psalm of David. David says this psalm, and this is a psalm where David tells us he's struggling. David tells us, man, there's this season that I'm going through. People are against me, right? David's in it, man. David's in it. Verse 1, to you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. I love this. This is what he says. God, that you would hear my cry. God, I'm struggling. God, hear me in this. I love this. I love where he comes to a place to say, God, hear me in this. Watch what he says. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. This is the season that David's in. I need you so much that if I don't hear from you, man, I don't know the end game. Come on, have you ever been there that you walk in a place that you're crying out to God saying, God, I'm struggling. God, I'm hurting. God, I need you to hear this. If you don't hear this, I feel like I'm going to the pit. This is where David is. This is where he's at. Watch this, verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplication. Supplication is a term for one who is crying out in anguish. It's not just the, oh, God, thank you for the flowers. Thank you for the trees. Oh, high five, 85 today. God, thank you so much. That's not it. This is one who's crying out from the depths of a cry. Supplication, if you go into deep in this word, in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it literally means the crying heart of a broken mom. That's what this means. And you look at where David is, where he is just crying out to the Lord from a struggling place. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry to you for help. Help! That's his cry. And when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary, look at his posture. He's in this place where he's desperate to hear from God. And then we look at verse 6. There's a turnaround here. There's an attitude adjustment. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. Hear me, Lord! And there is this shift that takes place where he knows God has heard his cry. Blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and he is my shield. My heart, here it is, internal. My heart trusts in the Lord and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart, there it is again. My heart exults and with my song I shall thank him. Look what he says. For the Lord is my strength. That means he is my might. He is my power. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my might. The Lord is my boldness. That's what strength means. He is my shield. He is my protector. Lord, I know that you've heard me. And in that, this is what I know. That you are my strength. That you are my power. That you are my shield. That you are my protector. My heart trusts you. Come on, what happens on the inside when you come to a place going, regardless of this crazy season, regardless of this nonsense, regardless of what is taking place, my heart's got to be in a place to say, God, in all of it, I trust you. And the word trust here means a careless confidence. God, I don't care what people think or say. I don't care what they see in me. I'm going to walk in a place to trust you, and I'm going to have this careless confidence in you, and I'm going to trust you. Watch this. Watch this. My heart, that's an internal, man. It's an inside job. My heart will trust you. My heart will boldly rely on you. Look, just before this, he's crying out for help. And therefore, my heart exults, and with my song, and the word exults here, it means it rejoices, and with my song, I shall thank him. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength, and he is their saving defense to his anointed. Save your people, and bless your inheritance, and be their shepherd also. I love this, and carry them forever. You think God has missed a moment? You think for a moment that God's not going to see you through? David's like, Lord, carry me. Carry me forever. Through it all. Through it all. Come on, knowing that there is a stability and there is a firmness to our faith that is rooted and established. And the evidence of that is the outside is not coming in, and I will overflow with gratitude. In all of this, I will sing songs. Don't let anything stop your praise. This is what he says. I will sing songs of thanksgiving. I love this. Point number two. Come on, Philippians 4. Point number two. It's this, that your peace would be protected. Listen, when you do an attitude adjustment and you come to a place, say, where is the needle of my thankfulness, man? Is it pushing left or is it overflowing? Is it pushing left to empty or is it overflowing? Where is the level of my peace? I love it. Man, Romans 15:13. What a powerful verse this morning on the nature of God. Listen, that it is his hope, that you would be full of joy, full of peace, abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. And you come to this place. Say, God, what protects my peace? Because watch this. Have you noticed that those who don't have that heart of thankfulness, that they are the grumblers and they are the complainers and nothing's ever good enough and they're never content? Don't you realize that those are the ones who have anxiety, those are the ones who are confused, those are the ones who walk in fear? What protects your peace? When you come to a place to walk in a relationship with Jesus, and you walk in a place to say, I am so thankful. That will protect and guard your peace. Philippians 4. This is great. Many of you have walked in a place to take this verse. I asked you in the beginning of this thing in March to find a verse that you would hold on to. And many of you picked Philippians 4, and it says this, Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, for the Lord is near. Verse 6 is amazing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, there's this word again, from a crying mother's heart, from that place of anguish, from your prayer and supplication. What's it say? What's the next word? With thanksgiving. Hold on. Wait. You mean, even from that place of anguish? Even when it's not going my way? How? How am I supposed to be in a place to rejoice always? How am I supposed to be in a place to be anxious for nothing? But what's it say? In everything. Be anxious for nothing. Well, my concern over this whole corona crazy is that it has just brought such anxiety to people, such fear to people. But yet for the disciple, for the follower of Christ, for the all in, listen, you and I, we have the ability, please hear this. We have the ability to, even in the midst of a crazy season, even in the midst of a tragedy, yes, you're going to be broken. Yes, you're going to be hurting in tragedy. But I'm not going to let anxiety grip my heart. I'm not going to let this corona thing grip my heart. This is nonsense. That you come to a place to say, be anxious for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication, can I ask you, how much have we spent on our face in this season? How much time have you been on your knees? How much time have you praying over your family? How much time are you praying over your wife? Praying over your husband? Praying over your kids? Praying over your neighbors? Praying over your boss? Praying over people that you work with? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, I think, watch this, please hear this. I think when you break this scripture down, we get captivated by anxiety and fear because we haven't spent time on our face. Be anxious for nothing, but yet in everything, by prayer and supplication, watch this. Here's the key, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. We're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. We're supposed to pray with thanksgiving in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of chaos. But watch this. Look at this. What's it say next? With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God. Hold on. Let's put the pieces together here, right? If we're believing that my peace can be protected, if we're believing that even in the midst of every day, I'm supposed to be filled with joy and I'm supposed to be filled with peace by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm supposed to abound and overflow with hope. I'm supposed to abound and overflow with thanksgiving. And even when I'm making supplication, even when I'm going through it, I'm still supposed to pray with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, I love this, which surpasses all understanding. What happens? It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. So what happens when you come to a place, again, this thankfulness is an inside job. There's nothing I can do to make you thankful. Just because someone gives you nice gifts, it doesn't mean that you're thankful for the gifts. When you understand Jesus Christ on a cross for you and your sin, and you understand where you were before Christ, when you understand your destination because of sin before you understood the great work of Jesus on a cross, how much do we thank Him for the gift of salvation? It's a free gift. You did nothing for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. How much do we explode in our thanks? This is why we celebrate the way we do in worship. We celebrate God. We're amazed that we are saved. We are forever safe because of the cross. And we want to celebrate Jesus. And we want to shout. And we want to sing. And we want to play instruments. And we want to say thank you so much for my salvation. I don't deserve it, but it's a gift. That's why you see what you do here in this house as we celebrate. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. Come on, a couple more places. Quickly, please. Colossians. Back to Colossians, please. I just want to share this. I love this. I wanted to get to this verse. I want to make sure that I got to this verse. Colossians 3, verse 15, 16, and 17. Again, you're talking about where we walk in this place of understanding this attitude adjustment of thankfulness in correlation to my peace of my spirit being protected. When you are a truly thankful person, your peace can be protected. Nothing's going to sink in. And I love it that when you see a duck go underwater, and a lot of people would say, well, you need to handle it like water off a duck's back. You ever see a duck go underwater, and then when the duck comes out of water, and then we have a bunch of hunters in this church that would love for that duck to fly away so they could pound them with 40 bullets. It's amazing. Shoot them. Don't miss. But when the duck comes out of that water, the water just rolls right off the duck, and it appears to be just dry as something that God has done to their feathers. And it's the same thing where when we are functioning from that true place of thankfulness and we're functioning from that place of peace, anything that would try to come against your spirit is like water off a duck's back. It just rolls off. Can't affect me. I'm grateful. I've seen people go through the depths of tragedy. And when you hear them begin to thank God and you see them unaffected in their worship in their worst tragedy, what's going to affect them? They've got their focus right. They've got their attention right. Their hope is alive. Watch this, verse 15. The peace of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Rule here means arbitrator. I love it. Peace is a litmus test to where you're at. Peace is truly a litmus test. If fear of this thing has captivated you and it's froze you, you're not functioning from that place of peace. Peace is the arbitrator. That's what rule means. It's the arbitrator, right? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And watch this now, be thankful. And let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing what? With thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, here it is, I love it. Whatever you do in word and deed. You know what that means? When you wake up and when you go to bed and everything in between. Whatever you do in word, that's what we speak. And whatever you do in deed, that's what you do. You know what you do all day? You talk and you do. And look what this says. This is huge, man. This is a one verse. Watch this. Watch this. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I love that. Do you realize that's how much we're supposed to be in? Last week we talked about all in. I love this verse. Whatever you do in word, every word that you speak should be in the name of Jesus. Everything that you do should be in the name of Jesus. And what? Watch this. Giving thanks to Him. I'm telling you, man, you want to work on your addiction? You want to work on the bottle? You want to work on that drug? You want to work on that porn addiction? You want to work in this? Then memorize this verse. Whatever you do in word or in deed, watch this. Do it in the name of Jesus. I watch this in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Well, that's not going to go well. I'm going to hit this bottle in the name of Jesus. Well, that's not going to go. It's not going to taste so good. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Doing what? Giving thanks. You wake up in the morning, you give thanks. When you go to bed at night, you give thanks. And you walk in this place to say, God, I want to function from this place of peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Whatever you do, whatever you say, wherever you're at, wherever you go, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks. You want to walk in this place of peace? Give thanks. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to him who God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. That has nothing to do that. I just like that verse, you know. Oh, I love it. Come on, Psalm 100. We'll close with this. Church, I think there's a season that we need to walk in a place to have an attitude adjustment, you know? And in that adjustment, there will be peace. And in that adjustment, you will overflow with gratitude and you will see that it is a protector of your peace. But the last thing is this, is when you understand what it means to be thankful. It does something. When you are thankful, truly thankful for Jesus. When you understand what it means to be thankful for Jesus, third point is this, that it will keep your hope alive. It will keep your hope alive. And you understand what it means to be so grateful. Psalm 92:1 says, it is good, watch this, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It does you good to give thanks to the Lord. It does something to your spirit when you can walk into place. On Sundays we gather and we celebrate and we celebrate and we worship and we sing. We have instruments and we have voices and we gather and our posture. It's just amazing to see what God does in a place of worship, not being about us, but it's our opportunity as a family and as a congregation to say thank you to Jesus. But what does that look like when you go home on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday? That you can turn it up, man. You can crank up some worship and just be amazed at Jesus. And listen, you can worship in absolute complete silence. You don't need the music. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 92, the word give thanks is the Hebrew word yada. And maybe you're new to Believer's Chapel and maybe you're seeing people raise their hands. Do you understand this? Posture matters. Like when you're in conversation with your husband or your wife, your posture in that conversation communicates. When you're speaking to your boss, your posture communicates. When you're speaking to your kids, your posture communicates. Well, God references our posture and our communication to him. It is good to give thanks. When you see give thanks throughout Psalms, almost every time it says give thanks, or there's times it'll say praise, and it's the Hebrew word yada, and it means to give thanks with extended hands. It's okay not to, but it's okay to. If you're comfortable with raising your hands, that's a yada praise. That's a posture that cries out to the Lord. If you're home and you don't like to do it in public and you're home, it's okay privately to raise your hands and give God that yada praise. Come on, Psalm 100 says this. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Because I want us to know this. This third point is that you can walk in a place to know that my hope is alive. My hope is alive. I will always be thankful. In my attitude of this thankfulness, in my attitude adjustment, man, I know that my thankfulness keeps my hope alive. Listen, church, I think one of the most devastating things is when somebody loses hope. When you lose hope, your soul goes dark. When you lose hope, right? When you understand what it means to lose all hope, that means your soul has gone to a bad place. But if you want to keep hope alive, when you overflow with gratitude and you keep that thankfulness needle to full, when you come back to this place to worship, when you come back to this place to praise, can I ask you, man, what does it look like when we get on our face? What's it look like to honestly come before the Lord with thanksgiving? Is thanksgiving the very first thing out of your mouth? Or do you go to the gimmies first? Do you come to the place to show the Lord how grateful you are for breath? This is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, you chose to give me breath today. It's not my oxygen. I didn't make it. I didn't produce it. God, you gave me breath in my lungs again today. And in that, I'm thankful. Because of that, I will serve you. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for all you do for me. Thank you for the hope that I have in you. Thank you. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Thank you that you would bless me and that you would keep me. And you walk in this place, the very first thing in our prayer time is to be thankful. Or do you go straight to the gimmies? There's nothing wrong with asking. Receive not because you ask not. There's nothing wrong with the gimmies. But it's got to start with that heart of being so thankful. Watch this. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. I love this. Psalm 100 is a very short five-verse Psalms, and it's power-packed to even what you would see here at Believer's Chapel in our worship. Shout joyfully. It's okay to shout. This word shout, it literally means a battle cry. I love this. It's okay to get loud. It's okay to shout joyfully. It's a battle cry. It's a cry. It's the alarm. It's that cry of triumph, man. It's okay. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. How do you start with thanksgiving? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. The word here, thanksgiving, is todah, and it means a choir of worshipers. Isn't it amazing that we make up the choir of worshipers? Man, I sing in my Jeep when I'm all alone on a Sunday morning. I am ripping it. Man, I'm sounding better than Brendan when I'm by myself in my Jeep. In my head, I sound better than Brendan, but I don't sing in public because I know I'm not. Olivia got all her talent from Miss Renee. She did not get her voice from me. It's amazing. But it's okay to walk in this place, to have a choir of worshipers, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. I love that. Enter his courts with praise. And this word praise is tehillah. And it means, I love this, it means songs of thanksgiving. Isn't it amazing that we sing songs of thanksgiving, amazed by Jesus, amazed by his grace, so thankful for who he is and what he's done. We sing songs of thanksgiving. That is tehillah, and you come to this place. Watch this. Give thanks to him. Again, that's the word yadah, with extended hands. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And the word bless here is barak, and it means a posture of adoration. It means either to kneel or to bow or to lay flat as a... Listen, church, your posture matters in worship. We want to bless him and we want our posture to scream adoration to him. That you would bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and he is faithful to all generations. See what happens when you stay in a place... You know, I'm going to keep my hope alive. And when I come to a place to be so thankful for Jesus, so thankful for who he is in me, man, that keeps my hope and that keeps my focus upon him, not on the circumstances, not on the crazy. Where's your focus? Are you grateful? Are you thankful? In the midst of crazy, can you just turn your focus over to Jesus and say, I'm amazed by you and I love you and I have so much to be thankful for. This season is not going to affect me. Man, my needle of thankfulness, my gratitude needle goes to the full and it's overflowing. And when you do that, there is nothing that can penetrate to your soul. It will show an established faith. It will show a peace that is protected, and it'll show a hope that is alive. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. We are amazed by you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for our salvation. Now, with your heads bowed, if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know Jesus, anyone watching online and you don't know Jesus, I beg you, come to a place to realize what it means to repent from your sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. If you would believe and trust in Jesus, you shall be saved. You shall have everlasting life. But we come to a place to come to him on his terms, and his terms is to repent. His terms is to call sin, sin. His terms is to turn away from sin, to recognize sin equals death. I deserve death, but it's by your grace that I have been saved. Second is this, that you would believe in Jesus. Number one, repent from sin. Number two, believe in Jesus. Jesus, I call on your name. Jesus, there is no other answer, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through you. It's only you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I trust in you. I trust in no other source, not my good works, not my good days, not my tithes and offerings, not my church attendance. Jesus, I only trust in you. You provided the way for me. And number three, I confess that you are Lord. You are my master. You are my sir. You are my leader. And I confess that you are Lord. And I know that you have been raised on that third day and that you are alive. And if you're in this place and you've never done that, I'm just asking you, please let the Spirit of God convict you in this, that you truly would just turn to him and that you would trust in Jesus for your salvation. Come on.